Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen. It's good to see you again, and welcome back to Your Money and a Cup of Joe. I am your moderator, Ryan Ruff. Great to be back with everybody here today. And as always, I'm joined by really my right-hand man, star of our show. That's Joe Kaleo of the Kaleo Wealth Management Group. And we're going to be diving into a really great topic, a wealth management topic, of course, today. You know, family banks, this is a tool that a lot of the very wealthy families are utilizing for a variety of different reasons out there. And they're becoming increasingly more popular, and a lot of families are adopting them, you know, across the wide spectrum of their net worth. So today, Joe and I are going to take a look into the inner workings of a family bank and whether or not that could be a smart move for you and your family. So with that being said, let's go ahead and welcome Joe aboard and get right into it. Joe, good to see you today. How you doing, sir?
Doing great, Ryan. Good to see you. Glad to have our topic today. Looking forward to sharing this with everyone.
Yeah. We're looking into family banks and how, of course, whether or not a family can decide if that's something that's right for them. But let's start at that high level, Joe. Why don't you tee it up for us? What exactly even is a family bank?
Yeah, Ryan, a family bank is essentially a formal legal entity that a family sets up with rules that essentially governs how family members can access family wealth, as well as how those family members are expected to pay back that money. In general, I mean, family banks are designed to bring a level of structure and professionalism and accountability when providing money to family members to fund initiatives, as well as, and importantly, to minimize the type of emotion-based lending that often happens in families.
Joe, let's double click a little bit into this in terms of the purpose of these family banks. What types of initiatives do they often fund in most cases?
Yeah, one major objective that we see, Ryan, is many professionals serving super rich families. It's enabled them to help future generations of family members build their own wealth and to create their own entrepreneurial legacies. It's been driven by some trends. Family members are kind of looking to develop the business acumen of the inheritor family members, as well as ways to support them in forming new ventures of their own. So those might include starting businesses or maybe attaining higher education or just other interests and needs. That said, though, family banks also commonly exist to help instill financial intelligence, financial responsibility, and even financial values in family members.
Could you give us, Joe, an example perhaps of how a family bank might support a family in the first place, but then also kind of build up some financial responsibility over time?
Yeah, think about this, Ryan, that you think, okay, the bank might approach, say, the issue of a child's or grandchild's college tuition. Rather than simply writing a check to the university, the matriarch or patriarch would require the college-bound student to apply for a loan that would cover, say, 50% of the amount needed. That term loan then could include a requirement that that child, that student, work during weekends or during breaks or summers or maybe all of it to make loan payments. Having this type of skin in the game then could potentially influence how the child views the importance of his or her education, as well as how the child thinks about money and spending in general.
Joe, I like the college example there, and I'll take it one step further. You know, a child goes off to college, they experience that time of their life, and now they're thinking about their career, potentially, you know, business building, especially if they're from a successful family that might have a business. So how might a family bank then work to help in kind of that next chapter of life where maybe that family member is going through that business building desire phase? How can a family bank pay a role here?
Yeah, the bank often will set up maybe new business family ventures via entrepreneurship, right? The funds are provided to the family bank from intra-family loans or equity investments in the new entrepreneurial ventures, or possibly both, for example, right? That patriarch might loan some money to his daughter, for example, through the bank, so she can start a consulting business. And that daughter then agrees to make repayments at a preferred rate. You could also say, additionally, that many family banks are designed to foster the creativity and the capabilities of the next and future generations. In essence, to build human capital along with the financial capital. Therefore, some family banks incorporate a formal as well as possibly informal entrepreneurial education and mentoring.
Joe, I want to circle back on a point that you made earlier, because I think it's very key. And that is, you had mentioned that family banks, they're a formal and a legal entity. So when you look at family wealth, oftentimes families, they're loaning each other money within the family in a lot of, you know, informal ways, shall we say. So why would you say that it is just so important for a family bank to be the flip side of that, such a formal entity that operates on the family's behalf?
Yeah, think about supporting the entrepreneurial activities of younger generations through informal arrangements that lack legal documentation. That usually means gifts or intra-family loans. Those informal arrangements generally increase the possibility of family conflict. For example, say two or more family members might remember an agreed upon financial arrangement differently. Well, these situations can easily become destructive to family unity, such as when the senior family member dies and there's no documentation concerning the existence or terms of intra-family loans that they made. So ultimately, there's where the family bank comes in. Accountability is paramount. Family banks are not just pools of money that family members can draw on as they see fit. It's obtaining funds from a family bank that should be like getting funding from a venture capital firm or a commercial bank. The transaction should have established criteria, and it should be very well documented.
Sure, sure. Joey, it's seeming to me more and more like one of the greatest advantages here of a family bank is that it does just involve this aspect of lending in a very customized, very fine-tuned way that can be tailored towards any family's individual goals and situations. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, right on target, Brian. So it can be very different than dealing with a large institution. Family banks do have a tendency to do the best when they're set up to serve the often, say, idiosyncratic nature of a particular wealthy family, as well as the family's specific circumstances. That's why some exceptionally wealthy families with single family offices choose to establish and run standalone family banks, while others run in the process through their single family offices without setting up another entity. It's all a matter of the particularities of that situation. Regardless, flexibility is still absolutely key, right? Family banks tend to evolve from being very simple to then something more complex and generally over time and in size. So it's wise, obviously, for families to bank, right, or family banks to have plenty of built-in flexibility when they're established so they can adjust to the certain circumstances.
No, this is a really, really good point there, Joe. And the next question, which I think begs to be asked, and I'm sure it's in the back of the mind of anybody listening or watching today's episode, and that is, are family banks, are they really just strategies or, you know, leveraged by families that have a truly sizable net worth? Or is this more so an approach that is more widely accessible to families of, let's say, all different types of levels of net worth?
Yeah, it's a great question. So even though the super rich families who've led the charge in this area, family banks are not exclusive of the extremely wealthy. Families with considerably less wealth can also use a family bank as a lending and an investment vehicle to support commercial activities of their heirs. Whereas the exceptionally wealthy move assets around in order to fund their family banks, those less wealthy are not always in such a financial position. So instead, they may need to build a pool of money that family members can use. So for example, a family could use the tax-free buildup of certain types of life insurance to amass wealth that family members can then use to fund their own entrepreneurial ventures.
Joe, does a family, do they set up and then run the family bank themselves? Or typically do you find that most enlist, you know, the help, the guidance, the expertise of let's say a trusted professional that they go to?
Yeah, super rich families that set up banks regularly use experts, Ryan, to assist and then advise them. And that includes wealth managers, it includes attorneys, it includes accountants generally, right? And they look for experts with a few key characteristics, certainly insights and experience with wealthy investors, right? And as well as wealthy inheritors, right? That's important because you've got to bridge the gap and help both sets and both generations. So familiarity with family dynamics, understanding the perspectives, the needs and wants of that next generation are essential to ensuring accountability and meaningful return on investments. Ryan, a couple of other things, though, for them to think about and look into. Expertise in and experience with entrepreneurship. So these professionals should have the ability to provide tactical guidance in making investments in private enterprises, and helping them grow is critical in supporting inheritors. And then tax mitigation expertise and experience. The exceptionally wealthy make considerable use of tax specialists to minimize income and estate liabilities. With new ventures, there can be substantial opportunities to reduce both current as well as future taxes. So making sure that you've got the expertise of the right specialist becomes very important in these avenues.
Of course, that's why, you know, it pays to have a great team of trusted professionals in your corner. Joe, I know you have conversations surrounding family banks, among other financial strategies with your client base. For anybody out there in our audience that could benefit from maybe reaching out and opening up a dialogue with, let's say, you and your team to just talk about whether or not a family bank makes sense for them, and or just in a litany of other financial related questions, what would be the best way they could get in touch with you guys and just start that conversation?
Yeah, give us a call, shoot us an email. We're happy to have a conversation. There's no cost in having that conversation, Ryan. And it's helpful then that they say, you know, hey, I've had this issue or something's on my mind. Happy to sit down and have a chat. There's no cost for us to do a stress test, as we've talked about, or just a second opinion review.
Perfect. Well, Joe, I appreciate you and your time today. A lot of value and insight there on the board with regard to family banks today. We'll let you get back to serving your clients, but I appreciate you, and we'll see you on the next one.
Sounds great, Ryan. Take care.
All right, you too, Joe. And hey, folks, we're going to take one final moment, as we always do, and thank you all for stopping by and spending some time with us on the podcast here today. If you did take something away from today's conversation surrounding family banks, you benefited from it in any way, shape, or form, well, make sure you subscribe to the show on the platform you checked us out on today. That way, you don't miss out on other conversations like the one we had today, where Joe and I unpack these different wealth management topics so that you and yours can really come out better for it on the other side. Before Joe, I'm Ryan. We're going to go ahead and say so long today, but we appreciate you stopping by and being with us on Your Money and a Cup of Joe. This presentation is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Financial Services Incorporated. UBS Financial Services Incorporated does not verify and does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the information presented. This material is made available for use by CEG. Neither UBS Financial Services Incorporated nor any of its employees provide tax or legal advice. You should consult with your personal tax or legal advisor regarding your personal circumstances. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services Incorporated offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC registered broker dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that clients understand the ways in which we conduct business, that they carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide to them about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review the PDF document at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services Incorporated is a subsidiary of UBS AG, member FINRA, member SIPC. Joe Kaleo at Kaleo Wealth Management Group, UBS Financial Services Incorporated. Office address 200 West Highway 6, Suite 400 in Waco, Texas, 76712.